Hi, my name is Alice. I'm Irish but listening from Belgium. Just sending massive, massive respect and big love for the conversations that you've been having over the past 9-10 months, and sending the best vibes for 2023.
Hey, Ukrainian Spaces. Thank you so much for framing Russia's genocide in Ukraine in a settler colonial context. It's the context we need, and you're the voices we need at this time. I always think nothing about us without us, and that's what you're achieving. So fuck you, tankies. Thank you, Ukrainian Spaces.
My name is Sly from Fort Worth, Texas in the U.S., and I wanted to share how Ukraine and Ukrainians have been a source of inspiration for me and the wider world. An example to follow in how to be the best version of yourself in the face of persistent terror. Ukraine has been a dynamic nation at a time when most nations would have reduced themselves to being about their war and little else. Supporting Ukraine is one of the very few things that the political establishment in this country mostly agrees on, and in my opinion, contributing to your victory is the single best foreign policy decision the U.S. has made in a very long time. Even those in my orbit who don't follow this war as closely as I do, trust and believe that your geographically offensive neighbor has absolutely no chance at any sort of victory. We all stand with you, and we love you. You are the best of us. Your victory is inevitable. Slava Ukraini.
Slava Ukraini, and good day. My name is Johannes. For the last 30 years or so, I've been working with indigenous minority peoples in the Russian North and Far East. And so I feel that the best possible outcome of this war, beyond the coming Ukrainian victory, which is, I think, as certain as anything, would be the decolonization and maybe the disintegration of Russia. Because there are many, many peoples in Russia which are yearning for their self-determination, for their liberty, for their security and self-determined development, which are currently barred from enjoying any of these. So I very much would dream of the day that this is coming. Heroem Slava.
Hello, hello.
Hey.
The season two finale is here. It's, I know maybe for some people it's going to be bizarre that we have two seasons in 1 year, but this is how Ukrainian life is like these days. We live several lives in 1 month. So it doesn't seem bizarre to me.
No, for sure not. All the best things. I was just going to make some funny reference to the fact that, I don't know if you watched it, but the Wednesday TV show season two is also coming out in the same year that season one came out, and it was amazing. So there you go. But yeah, it's been, I was going to ask you before the show, and I forgot to count how many episodes we've done altogether.
I constantly forget to do that. I know that we surpassed 50 at some point. But I'm not sure when and how. But that's, again, very Ukrainian in these days.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's because I was thinking, like, even season one, we had what, I don't remember, but it's just an absolutely insane amount of episodes. And there's one for everyone, for every topic that you may want to learn more about Ukraine to listen to. So it's just really nice. It's like we've created such a cool... kind of like a library of knowledge, I guess, for people on Ukraine, from Ukrainians on almost every topic. So it's something to be proud of.
And we're updating all the episodes with a bit of new touch of new sound design, and we're re-uploading them to our podcast platforms. And I've been listening to all of them, especially, you know, since the first ones. And of course, you can count me as biased, but I listen to them. Not only there are these very unique moments in time that we were able to record and capture what we were feeling at that moment, what our featured Ukrainians felt, but also it all sounds very relevant to these days. I think at that specific moment, at this specific moment, the things that we say the conclusions we come to are so crystal clear that I have a suspicion that they will stay relevant for years to come. So that's why it's so extra special.
Yeah, for sure. And of course, the incredible amount of people that we were lucky enough to interview over the past however many months has really, I don't know, for me personally, we'll talk about it more as well today, but it's just been amazing because it basically has allowed me, myself, to learn more through the people who now I can, yeah, call my friends, which has been great.
I think it's time for us to kind of introduce the concept behind our season finale, whether you're listening this live or you'll listen in several weeks as a podcast episode. I mean, I think one can guess that there's nothing Ukrainians would like to take from 2022 for the next year as we're recording and broadcasting this episode, right, you know, a couple of days before 2022 ends. And largely, I think it's true. It has been definitely the worst year of our lives, and lots of horror and terror are unfortunately still ahead of us. Our families, our loved ones are not in any way of safety by any means. And surviving this winter will be the hardest thing any of Ukrainians have ever done. So facing evil that often feels overpowering and so much larger than us, we rely on our smarts, insightfulness, and creativity to overcome it. And that's why, in the most Ukrainian fashion, we won't waste our time for the season finale recollecting all the shit we've lived through and how much heartbreak we endure. Instead, we're gathering in a family circle, a new family that was forged in genocide, to reflect on our newly found strengths that will help us to win and to rebuild. Inability to imagine our future, our lives beyond this terror, this is when terrorism really wins. And remaining in constant gaze of suspension, uncertainty is a perfect environment to break our spirit, to weather us out. That's why we choose to dream and hope and plan for life after our victory. So today's episode might have a different title, but it will carry the same task as 50 plus other episodes we did on Ukrainian spaces, to record as many diverse Ukrainian voices in an ultimate defiance to the evil trying to silence us. We will definitely join with a family of our closest friends today. Unfortunately, we would love to feature all Ukrainians we always feature, but for this episode, we gathered in almost the same circle we would usually gather for our season finale for this first season. I think so we won't waste any time. We can, you know, start with asking one question we wanted to ask our featured Ukrainians for this season finale. And that question is going to be kind of a building block, that one thing you're taking to the coming year that you didn't have definitely on February 24th, a new piece about yourself, a new character trait, a new knowledge that's going to be helpful to survive what's coming in 2023 and later to rebuild. Can we start maybe with our own team?
I was just going to say that so it would be great also because Solomia is joining us in speaker capacity for one of the first times, and it would be really great if you could also introduce yourself and maybe introduce yourself through the question that Maxim asked, because you've been such a integral part of our team this season, and I think we've become so much stronger and better because of you as well. So we'd really like to invite you to speak first.
Hi again. My name is Solomia, and I am a social media manager here at Ukrainian Spaces. I joined the team a few months ago, and it has been amazing, incredible. And thank you so much, Val and Maxim, for your brief introduction. And I'm So thinking about this question, I was sort of looking back through the year, and I am absolutely a different person than I was on the 24th of February. I vividly remember the first hour of the invasion, and then the next month or two passed as if in a trance. All of us tried to do everything and all at once. It was impossible to think about anything else. And I just remember that I couldn't stand thinking about anything but Ukraine. And in that time and all the months since, I realized that I am much more focused now and more sure of myself, that kind of almost like a new character development happened. I was always someone who has been very prone to self-doubt and imposter syndrome in school, at university, at work. So this year made me see much more clear that none of that really matters. All those little things that used to keep me up at night, that I would worry about endlessly, really kind of lost their power over me. I realized that the most important thing in my life, really, to me, are my family, my people, and my country. So everything else really became trivial. When there were missiles, and there are missiles flying and are aimed at my home, and really when there are thousands of genocidal maniacs that are hell-bent on seeing my nation destroyed. And I realized that, like so many generations before us, there was absolutely no way that they would succeed, because there are millions more just like me and even more fearless who will really do anything to not let that happen. And going into 2023, I'm carrying with me the belief and fierce want that we will be the last generation of Ukrainians that will ever have to survive Russian brotherly love.
Thank you so much. That was incredible. Solomia, we're once again just so grateful for your ability to drive Ukrainian spaces as well this season, and you've just been an incredible inspiration to us as well throughout the past couple of months. So we're very grateful, and we're very grateful for you sharing your building block with us. Tatiana's gonna hate me for saying building block, but I did it. So thank you so much. And I was just gonna ask, of course, Tatiana has been with us for longer, and Tatiana has been with us, I guess, with me, probably. I still remember Tatiana popping up either on my Instagram or Twitter, and just we started talking about Ukraine-related stuff straight away, like when everything started kicking off in February. And I think Tatiana's been like this, like, I don't know what to call you. I hope you don't mind, like this connecting glue between a lot of people online who have been trying to find a place for themselves to somehow belong in a new way, who are Ukrainian, who have some connections with Ukraine. But we wanted to ask you, Tatiana, as well, to share with us what you thought about the same thing. What is that one thing that you, despite all the horror and tragedy, and that we will never forget, but we want to learn from this year, what is that one thing that you'll be bringing forward with you that you have learned about yourself, I guess, or people around you?
Well, my name is Tatiana, and I do audience engagement with Ukrainian Spaces, who are now basically my family. And I'm very lucky to be part of this. I just feel like it's a revolutionary platform and group right now, and it makes me so happy. You know, when the invasion happened, you know, we all remember where we were when it happened. And I remember, you know, the calls to family members and stuff. But I had spent my entire life as someone whose first language is Ukrainian. My childhood was spent kind of building that Ukrainian heart and spirit the entire, you know, my entire time. I went to Ukrainian school. I went to Ukrainian camps like PLAS. I was Miss Lesya Ukrainka. And
you know, what was amazing was that it kind of started fading in my 20s because it was really hard to keep battling to show people how important this was to me and how the world kind of just didn't pay attention. And I think when it happened, I went into, like, suddenly everything became clear why I was, like, what my life was for, what my purpose was for. I mean, I wrote, I'm an author, I wrote a book about a Ukrainian story, and everyone was like, yeah, nobody's paying attention, this is, like, not interesting to the world. And then suddenly everything became kind of laser focused for me. And instead of kind of hiding, which I wanted to do when the war happened, I became super, I became super laser focused on what I needed to do. And I inserted myself in the very center of what was happening. And I surrounded myself with Ukrainians who kind of felt the exact same and who had that spirit. So that's something that I learned about myself. It was, it kind of existed there already, but I never really used it, or I didn't, I never had the tools to kind of use it the way I wanted to or needed to. And then I'm just realizing, you know, the thing that stuck out for me was the video of the old woman confronting these kind of Russian occupiers and saying, you're an occupier, like, plant some seeds. I know everybody saw that video, it went viral. And the fact that she stood there in front of them, knowing that they could just kill her at any moment, she just did not care. And I am, that will stick with me forever, forever. And I've seen stuff that I never thought I'd see in my entire life, doing translations, seeing war footage. That is the thing that kind of changed, almost changed my DNA. And then I realized that I can do that too. Як не ти, хто, you know, like, if not you, then who? And that kind of, I'm taking that for 2023. I'm realizing that I have the same power that exists in me. And now I'm going to use that and be Tetyana Ukrainka 2.0. Like, that's my new kind of focus. I'm just going to keep pushing forward. So.
Thank you so much, Tetyana, and yeah, as always, we're grateful for your wisdom and support throughout these past couple of months.
I wanted to really thank to our Patreon sponsors because our family of Patreon sponsors really exploded in numbers in recent months, and since Ukrainian Space is 100% supported by this solidarity and exists thanks to it, I send many thanks to all of you guys for embracing us every time, for making sure that we have not only the means but also motivation to keep showing up every time for live broadcasts and making podcast episodes. This all wouldn't be possible without you, so thank you so much once again. And if you love this episode and this is actually the first time you are hearing Ukrainian Spaces, consider joining our Patreon family and joining our mission. Now I want to bring Mariam to the broadcast. And Mariam is also one of the first people to join Ukrainian Spaces early on. And since then, she became an integral part of our family as well, working with us on many other cool stuff, but most importantly, inspiring us every day, like many other Ukrainians. So, Mariam, hey, can you hear us?
Yes, well, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. So, Mariam, we wanted to also share with us your thoughts, or maybe that one thing that you didn't have when this genocide started, and now that one piece, either of knowledge or about your character or yourself, that you now get and got, that you would like to take to 2023 and maybe use it to rebuild Ukraine once we have our victory.
Oh, yeah. So here I have, I think, pretty personal answer, which is, like, you know, typically I have kind of answer that I can use for some political reasons, you know, to explain something to people outside of Ukraine, but this thing is pretty personal. So to be honest, most of the time before the big war started, I used to work with myself. So for me, it was the best way how to make old job done or something like that. So it was interesting because, you know, I heard a lot, and this is kind of a very, very basic information, that communication is very important to all of us. Like it's one of the most important glue of the society, communication between people. And, you know, for me, this kind of phrase was like, you know, kind of basic stuff. I didn't even pay attention to that. And it was interesting. And I think it was exactly, we talked with Romeo, and by the way, hi, and with Joey about my experience when I was in Ukraine since the invasion in July. And it was then when it hit me that for me, I realized that communication is not the most important thing, but is the most beautiful thing. And this is something that still strikes me every time when I see people outside, you know, outside of their houses, when they talk to each other on the streets, when I talk to my friends, when I see how people abroad try to support us. Each day, this knowledge of how important and how beautiful it is, this connection between us, this kind of made me feel very grateful. And I know from a lot of books about psychology that gratefulness is very important kind of tool to cope. But to be honest, I didn't do that on purpose. I genuinely think that this is one of the most, for me, this is the thing of 2022, aside of the war. I never realized how beautiful is all of our communication, how this is the most beautiful thing that actually exists in my life. And I know this will help me, and it's already helping me. And I'm pretty sure this will be one of the main cements of Ukraine 2023.
Thank you so much. And I definitely can relate to that as a person who I've never been very social in general. And talking to people, connecting with people was kind of a chore all the time. And I feel so much differently because without you guys, I cannot probably imagine any of my days anymore. I'm in constant touch with you. We talk for work or just about life or just about anything. And these kind of links, I hope they remain until very long time, because this is what sustained me through these dark days. And I definitely wanted to stay after we win as well.
I'd actually like to ask Marichka next to come and share her piece of, I don't even know, not advice, but more like insight, her own insight. But I was actually very lucky to meet Marichka in person and Stas as well, and Maxim. But it was just so, I think for me, when we all met in person, it just felt like, you know, we already said this before, but it just felt like we didn't know each other for quite a while, even though it was the first time we, you know, said hello to each other and had a chance to have a lot of these conversations we've been having online in real life. And it's just been so amazing to have these online friendships grow into like real life, offline connections. And so all of you know Marichka already from the amazing work that she does and from being on our podcast before as well. But Marichka, please, would you mind sharing with everyone what is that one thing that you've learned for yourself about yourself and will bring forward from this awful year?
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for these kind words. Really wonderful opportunity to meet all of you. I'm really proud to be part of this family. Thank you so much. Actually, you made really good line to my thesis, because I thought that this year, among anything else that I taught about myself, about other people, that I learned about myself, that I can do, very important thing for me was that before the full-scale invasion, I was like really independent person, you know. I always thought that I can do everything by myself, and it was really important for me to do it only by myself, not to ask for help or something. But I find out that it's absolutely okay to ask for help and to share and to help other people, be kind and humane, because nowadays it's really important, and I think that all of Ukrainians are really proud that they can do it. And the thing that we can be so close with a lot of Ukrainians that were completely strangers for us, and we can meet and feel that we are already like know each other because of all this trauma that we're going through together. I hope that next year and in the future, we can bring this, you know, thing in the future to make Ukraine better and to make ourselves better. Stay humane and kind. I think Mariam told about communication, but for me, it's not only about communication, but also about attitude. And to save this attitude, to save this thing that we should be kind and humane, I guess it's really important for us in the future, because with all of this war, it's really easy to be angry, you know, and to become evil. But I'm really afraid of being this person, and I want for all of us and for myself to stay humane and kind and to help, you know, to have the resources to do this in the future. So I guess that's for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Marichka. I want to invite Alice, who's also became part of Ukrainian Spaces family and one of the people that I honestly cannot imagine not to check every day. She's such a source of inspiration for me as a Ukrainian, but also someone who I met, unfortunately, due to genocide, but I wish I met much earlier. So I wanted to invite you, Alice, if you can hear us, and unmute yourself.
Hi, yes. Roman. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
And unfortunately, I'm outside. I'm running from cafe to cafe, trying to work and handle everything because of blackout today. And unfortunately, I have my voice right now when I'm going through electrical generators, and
yes,
can be loud, really. Can be very noisy, and I'm sorry for that.
No apologies needed. And this is actually the sound I would love to live in 2022. I really hate now the sound of generators, to be honest. But hopefully this is the last winter we need to rely on them. So Alice, don't waste much of your time.
I'm sorry, a lot of people here, and Krishna is group also met with I'm sorry. No. So I'm what about
the beauty of life? I love it. I
yeah,
love
it's beautiful, isn't it? Very beautiful, by the way.
Alice, so if we can ask you, maybe there's just one thing you would like to take with yourself to the coming year that you didn't have before 24th. And maybe something that will help you not only to meet the spring, but also to rebuild Ukraine.
It will be critical thinking. Critical thinking for me is everything. I can talk about love, unconditional love to everyone, unconditional love to somebody who I don't know, unconditional love to Ukrainians and victims of this genocide. But critical thinking always help me to balance everything, always help me to handle, always help me to analyze very very clear and very quality everything around me. all information and make investigation for my further activity, because I'm sure that after the war we will face a lot of problems, social, economical problems, and only for me, I don't know, for me only critical thinking, analyzing and logic, that's what I want to bring for all my life. And this skill, this year I developed, I improved very, very high. So that's it.
Thank you so much. And I also would love for you to bring beyond our victory the beautiful project that you're also doing, Tosh Samis, that we featured in one of our episodes, and the stories of diverse Ukrainians that you put out there every time, no matter terrorism, no matter what is happening, no matter the ways Russians are trying to silence, you just show up and you share those stories with the world, and they're making so much impact. I'm so overjoyed to see that. So hopefully you bring that work into 2023, past our victory, and much more. So thank you so much, Alice, for joining us. I really want to now invite Stas, who is, I would say, you know, became some sort of a brother from another mother as well for me, and person I cannot imagine my everyday life anymore, but also who's together with Marichka are doing one of the most important projects and one of the most important initiatives that emerged out of this horror. And this is Ukraine Explainers. And I think the work that, if you haven't heard, but you definitely need to check the work that these people are doing on trying to explain Ukraine for the rest of the world, I mean, this genocide, is nothing less than just out straight badass and so much important. So Stas, I really wanted to ask you the same question. There are so many stories that you shared with us on Ukrainian spaces, but also outside, that were very powerful and personal, about your experiences, about your own decolonization journey that many Ukrainians are going through. So I'm extra curious to hear of all that storytelling that you did in the last year, what is this one thing that maybe you definitely would like to take with you to next year, to spring, that we're waiting for, and also beyond our victory as well?
Hi, friends. First of all, thank you so much for so many kind words. I can only say that I feel the same way. And honestly, since March, since the beginning of the full-scale invasion, I've been looking up to both of you guys, Maxim and Val, and so many people who are here in this live session. So thank you all. About your question, I would say, like, I have kind of two things, but they're interconnected, and I treat them as one thing. I really cherish this realization that I had throughout this year that, on the one hand, I embraced being Ukrainian, and I embraced Ukrainian history, and I tried to learn more about my family. I learned how and why my family switched from being Ukrainian speakers to Russian speakers. I got really curious in Kyiv, my hometown. I got really curious on like a very hyper micro level history of the places where I'm from, the streets that I walked all my life. And this kind of extra curiosity in this micro level is something that I really cherish, because it's soaked with so much love and respect. But also, like, on the other hand, I like my view of Ukraine expanded a lot in the last year. I think a lot of people in Ukraine, myself included, before the full-scale invasion, we treated Ukraine as this, I wouldn't say in isolation, but we always felt that we were kind of in between stuff, in between stories. We're not part of the European Union. We didn't treat ourselves as part of post-Soviet like region, not anymore. And for me this year, with so much support coming from so many fascinating people around the world, I felt how interconnected the world is and how interconnected Ukraine's place in the world is. And this is, I think, mostly because of what kind of people support our fight and support Ukraine. And I just want to say that this year has been full of, I don't know, of just wonderful people who are truly kind, who are truly caring, and seeing that this is the kind of audience that supports Ukraine made me feel that, you know, we have this special place in the world, and I want to embrace it and to tell about it and to keep on like writing Ukraine into this more globalized story. So yeah, I don't know if it categorizes as one takeaway for the year, but I hope I made it connect.
Two is okay. Three, the more the better.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, we will need lots of building blocks. And again, as I'm listening through, you know, through all these things you share, guys, this is very empowering, because especially on the day like today, when we saw probably the largest missile attack on Ukraine, and when you wake up to that kind of horrible genocidal reality, it's very hard for you to center yourself and to think about the future, where you're just trying to figure out whether everyone you know are alive and whether the places you love and care about so dearly are still standing. But these kind of messages help you to envision future beyond that, and this is the most important thing. Once again, I want to bring Valeria, your own 50% of this place. So I wanted to ask you to share that one special thing you acquired, you developed in the last 10 months that you will definitely take with you to rebuild Ukraine when we have the opportunity to do so.
Yeah, thank you so much. I, you know, it's actually quite funny, because we spent all these months interviewing other people, so that when you have to yourself answer questions, it like flips the whole logic of why we're here. But it's an interesting experience as well, for a change. So mine was actually, when we were preparing for this episode with the team, we were basically, one thing that came to mind for me, and I've since been able to think about it a bit further, about why it's been so important to me and why it's changed so much in me. We started with the fact that, you know, we are different people from who we were in February. I don't know if people disagree with me, but that's how I feel personally about myself, but also about a lot of people, because whether we like it or not, but, you know, war changes everyone if you experience it quite significantly. And for me, the biggest thing is, I've always been, if you know me before the war, if you're someone who was, you know, good friends with me, knew me personally, I'm quite an impatient person towards people. And it's not a very good trait that I had, but it basically, it's not just about, you know, people in day-to-day relationships. It's just, I was quite quick to be annoyed with people, or who I didn't agree with, or with concepts I didn't agree with, or with situations I didn't agree with, or I had this like quite a fast reaction to things. I've always had a fast reaction to situations that have happened to me, whether they're concerned people or not. And I think what changed since February, and this goes partially back to what Alice was saying around critical thinking, is that I think I've really developed this ability to think beyond the kind of the surface level of things, of situations, of everything that's around me. Not that I didn't before, but basically, you know, there's this now one big thing, which is the war, and you're either on the right or the wrong side of it. But everything in the middle, you develop such a patience with understanding people more, with understanding where people come from, with understanding people's backgrounds, their journeys, their everything in helping you, you know, make decisions about how you react to events and not just events, like everything that happens in your life. I just found this like one of the most, to me, I don't know, freeing almost experiences, because the more, it's basically, I don't know the expression in English, but you know this, like when you're, there's the saying that when you're younger, you're like, you are maximalist, you know, like it's like, things are right or wrong, things are good or bad, this person is, you know, making the right or wrong decision. But now I feel like, and I think it's something that's going to be so important for us moving forward, is that we have that ability to be patient and critical with everything that's going on around us. And it's something that I value a lot. And then the other thing is as well, I don't know, this is getting like, I'm just oversharing with you guys now. This is what happens when you give me the ability to share my thoughts and not just ask questions. But it's also, and I don't know, I think Solomia said as well that, you know, she had this sort of imposter syndrome, and all of us do to a degree, right? Like, especially women and a lot of different people in general. But I also had this like fear of not being liked by absolutely everyone for a very big part of my life. And I think this year has really taught me that when you develop such a strong mission to your life in terms of what you're trying to do, and when you just develop such a strong connection with other people around you that really mattered to you, everyone else doesn't matter the same way. And it's not about pleasing absolutely everyone, but it's actually developing those strong connections with the people that really matter to you, that that allows you to really be laser focused on your mission and get to that point where you're trying to go to. Oh my God, what was that?
I have no idea, but I don't know, maybe it's a message from Elon Musk. supporting your words. I think it's a new feature in the Twitter spaces. But thank you so much, Valeria.
Please, can we cut that out? No, I'm joking.
Anyhow, I want to now to invite Romeo to our episode. Romeo is also someone who joined us on season finale, who helped us to make one of our most badass, no bullshit episodes ever recorded on Ukrainian spaces, and someone who I all take inspiration from all of you, but in very unique individual ways from each of you. And when it comes to Romeo, for me, it's always this unapologetic, no bullshit filter that he has that I completely admire in his storytelling.
Well, first, thanks a lot for your incredibly kind words. I'm blushing here. But I just wanted to, and it's been a real pleasure and an honor to watch you guys grow into such a powerful and influential platform for Ukrainian voices. Like, really, I'm super impressed with everything you guys have done, and super proud of all of you. So thank you very much for, you know, giving this to the world. In terms of what I take away from this year, and obviously there's a whole bunch of things. But the one thing that that's really crystallized for me in the past week or so when I've been thinking about this question is I learned that people aren't all that horrible. Prior to the war, a lot of my attention was taken up with U.S. politics and watching the Trump administration, watching the fallout of that, and the kind of unhinged hatred out of quite a bit of the electorate and growing into this sort of ossified us versus them mentality. But when the Russians decided to invade, support started pouring in from all around, from a lot of people. And I realized that, well, maybe there is hope for us yet. Maybe there's still something that we can achieve, and we can still come together, even for simple things like donations or watching people provide mutual aid to each other. Not only did utterly complete strangers, decide to, help my family out and help my father-in-law buy a new car after his old one broke. But people have been donating millions and millions and millions of dollars to Ukrainian causes, to the military, opening their doors, letting Ukrainians stay at their homes. My brother-in-law in Poland is still staying at a friend's house from June. And I mean, it's not a simple thing to just open your door to basically a complete stranger and let them live there for months or however long things will last. But this is happening all over the world. And it's been not exactly inspiring, but it's been, I would guess, shockingly fascinating. The hearts that some people have, that a lot of people have, that way more people have than I ever would have thought. That's really shaped my perspectives and changed the way I think about the world and the way I think about the future. Because, yeah, things are dark now, but we're already winning. And I have hope that after, and not just hope, faith even, that after the dust settles and we are completely victorious, and we no longer have to worry about blackouts and rockets, that we have the ability and that we will build a better future, not just in Ukraine, but I think in the world. And I think the experiences that we've gained during this war and the kind of openness and kindness that people have shown will absolutely be a direct contributor to that brighter future.
Thank you so much, Romeo. Yeah, and just to echo what Maxim said as well, it's been great to have you with us on this journey and in various other situations as well. You've been a great support to many of us, so we're always happy to have you with us. Thank you so much for sharing with us as well. Maxim was going to escape this, but I'm going to ask him as well to share with us his thing that he learned this year, his one piece of advice to himself, I guess, for 2023. Would you mind sharing with us as well?
I would love to escape it, because one of the things that I actually would love to take with me is listening. And listening and have humility to listen and try to imagine in yourself into someone's shoes. And I think humility, because I've listened to so many of your stories, and we've interviewed so many amazing people for Ukrainian spaces, and I met even more. And every time when I hear your stories, I feel, this sudden. And, I'm a journalist for 20 years, but this for the first time in my life, I feel so much really, truly honor being able to amplify you and to make sure that those stories live. And I think partially because of the background, because of the genocide happening, but I think also because all those stories keep reminding me about my own story, that I would never love to share a story of being Ukrainian. As something that I always was ashamed of, I was always hiding, ashamed of having Ukrainian accent, ashamed of having Ukrainian roots, a Ukrainian family, that for most of my life it was like a norm for me, and this is a thing that I definitely want to leave in this year and take with me to the next year, and as a building block to building new Ukraine, this unapologetic pride of being Ukrainian, something that I never felt until this year, and something that I never want to lose ever again. In any situation when somebody will try to diminish me, minimize me as a Ukrainian, make fun, dehumanize, something that we unfortunately face every day these days, I want to make sure that in each situation that does not chip away my self-worth as a Ukrainian and my feeling that being Ukrainian is good enough. I don't have to hide it. I don't have to compromise with it. And I think this year showed me that this is the only way to go. So this is something, this pride and this humility about, you know, our history, this is something that I definitely want to take with me to the next year, but most importantly, something that I will use to rebuild Ukraine.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I hope you feel as weird as I do for being the ones who answer the questions and not...
It's absolutely bizarre. Let's not do it ever again.
No. Thank you, everyone, so much for being here with us. It's been amazing to see you supporting us for such a long time and just coming to our broadcasts and, you know, making Ukrainian Spaces what it is today and helping us continue what we're doing. Because, you know, at times it's obviously hard and we've been doing a lot of these broadcast sessions. But, you know, knowing that you guys are with us has been super helpful in supporting us. So we're just very grateful to each and every one of you, those who have spoken today, everyone else who's listening to us, our patrons, everyone else who has been here before and listened to us before. We're just forever grateful because going to sound cheesy, but obviously can't do what we do without you. But just to wrap up, I think it's fair to say that, you know, this year has been absolutely the worst year of our lives. We never imagined it could be this way. We lost people we loved. We lost places that we grew up in. We also witnessed the most horrible crimes humanity is basically capable of. You know, Mariupol, Bucha, Izum, all of these places became synonymous with the darkest and lowest points of human history. But in a sense, it has also been the most powerful year of our lives. And I think the things that people shared today really highlight that for everyone. Faced with genocide and vile hatred, we kept creating, living, loving, and hoping against all odds. And amid these ashes, we forged new relationships and found new friends and families.
Families that in France we're closing season two with, because after winter there's always spring, it's gonna come, and after a night there's always sunrise. Light always finds a way in the darkness, and when the light comes, Ukraine always stands. So thank you so much for being us for this second season. We're gonna come back for season three with much more stuff and more exciting news about what it will look like. So stick around. But for now, I think this is the only thing except our traditional one to close an episode, and it is Slava Ukraini.
Героям слава!
Героям слава!
Героям слава!